This is the third recording in a series of recordings on Mosaic. Today is the 4th of June, 2025. I'm Mike Dilger. In this recording, I'm going to talk about time and Mosaic timestamps. What time is it? To answer that question depends on which time standard you are using. Let me first draw your attention to pixels on a computer screen. I can point to a pixel and ask, which pixel is this? One person might count pixels from the top left, another person from the bottom left, and give me two different answers. These are two different pixel naming systems, giving different names for the exact same pixel. Well, it is the same thing with time. We have different names for the exact same moments in time. There are numerous time standards, and many of these time standards are realized by other time standards. That is, one derives from the other, and there is a formula to convert between them. The most fundamental time standard realization that we humans have today is called International Atomic Time, or in French, Temps Atomique International. We use the French for the abbreviation, so it is called TAI. Time is relative. Once we're living on Mars, we're going to have a bit more trouble defining a time standard. But for the moment, we are all living on the surface of the Earth, where time moves at the same rate for everybody, or very nearly so. The difference being a function of how much gravity you are experiencing, which is mostly a function of your elevation. We have a bunch of atomic clocks, more than 450 of them, across the surface of the Earth at different altitudes, and they all run at slightly different rates. The output from these clocks is averaged, and that output realizes the TAI time standard. Now, it would be nice if TAI were expressed in the number of seconds elapsed since an epoch, but it isn't. TAI instead is expressed as a Gregorian date and time of day. So to subtract two times in TAI, you need to understand months of differing numbers of days and leap years. Hey, it is what it is. At least it isn't affected by time zones or daylight savings time. Now, also, it would be nice if TAI time were shipped over the internet to our computers. But it is not. Instead, we get a different time standard called Coordinated Universal Time, or in French, Temps Universel Coordonné, which we oddly abbreviate as UTC, even though that doesn't match either the English or the French. I guess it was a compromise. Anyhow, UTC is meant to be used for civil time. And some humans think that civil time should match very closely the rotation of the Earth. And so we have this organization called the International Earth Rotation Service. And thank God for them. Without them, the Earth would stop rotating. And they determine when to add leap seconds to the UTC standard. These leap seconds are published at least 6 months in advance, and you can download the list of all the leap seconds that have ever happened with any upcoming ones. UTC, like TAI, is expressed as a Gregorian calendar date and a time of day. What happens in UTC when a leap second occurs is that it is, for example, December 31st, 23:59:59, and then the next second is named December 31st, 23:59:60, and then the next second is named January 1st, 000. So that last minute of the year was actually 61 seconds long. But UTC is not discontinuous. Every second is accounted for with unique names. It just has a weird naming scheme. And when you want to subtract two UTC times from each other, you need to understand and account for not just how long months are, not just leap years, but also leap seconds. Now, Unix time is an epoch time standard. An epoch is a point in time that acts like an origin for a coordinate system. Unix time almost expresses the integer number of seconds that have elapsed since January 1st, 1970. With Unix time, you don't have to worry about Gregorian date time calculations. No more worrying about how long months are or leap years. Just subtract two integers. But Unix time fucked up. It isn't actually the number of seconds elapsed. It only counts all the seconds that are not leap seconds. It completely ignores leap seconds as if they didn't happen. And so what happens is Unix time goes from, for example, 915148800.0 runs up to 915148800.9 and then jumps backwards to 915148800.0 again. That is, Unix time 915148800 actually expresses two different moments in time with no way to differentiate them and know which second it's actually talking about. This isn't really a problem with leap seconds or UTC. UTC expresses the second as :60. UTC is not discontinuous, but Unix time is discontinuous. I find this error so egregious that I think we need to define a new, modified Unix time, one that does account for all the leap seconds. As of this writing, we have had 28 leap seconds, if you include the one on December 31st, 1971. This modified Unix time would basically just be Unix time plus 28. That is Unix time plus the number of leap seconds elapsed. With such a time standard, every second that has elapsed has a unique name, and to determine how many seconds have elapsed between two timestamps, you just subtract one from the other, and it will always be precisely correct. But this isn't quite what we're going to use in Mosaic. Hold your horses on that. Now, there is a downside to modified Unix time. You can't just get Unix time from your computer because your computer uses network time protocol to get a NTP timestamp, which follows UTC and then is converted into a Unix time, and it doesn't account for leap seconds. So in order to fix it, you have to also download the list of leap seconds and for any Unix time, figure out how many leap seconds have elapsed at that point in time and add them. But I think this downside is worth it for Mosaic. Maybe an embedded operating system would make a different choice because it can't download things. But Mosaic is a network protocol, and downloading things is core to what Mosaic is. So downloading the leap seconds is really not a big ask. But Mosaic is not using Unix time plus leap seconds. I think higher precision time might be useful to some applications. So let's work out how many bytes we need for a timestamp. Can we store a timestamp in 4 bytes? Well, what we really need at a bare minimum is to span all of the seconds across the next 50 years or so. That would require numbers up to about 1.5 million, which is less than the 4 million or so numbers you get in a 32-bit number. So yes, we could express timestamps in 4 bytes, but that would be at second precision, fairly coarse. To get better precision, we have to go beyond 4 bytes, and the next integer well supported by computers is 8 bytes long, a 64-bit number, and 8 bytes is plenty. If we express seconds, we could span 584 billion years, back to the Big Bang and 40 times as far into the future. If we expressed milliseconds, we could cover 584 million years. Could reach the Big Bang, but wow, still a huge time span. If we expressed microseconds, we could cover 584,000 years. That would cover all of human history, and more future time than we would ever need. Mosaic would not last that long for sure. If we expressed nanoseconds, we could cover 584 years. Again, more time in the future than Mosaic will last for. Not all of human history, but timestamps in the past aren't really necessary for Mosaic. If we expressed picoseconds, we could cover less than a year. Certainly that will not do. So nanoseconds it is. Well, when then should the epoch be? Well, 584 years is so long that the epoch can remain 1970. I see no reason to bump it forward for this. There's one more concern, the byte ordering. Normally, we use little endian byte order because most CPUs use this internally, so it's faster on most computers. But in the case of timestamps, we want them to sort well. If interpreted as raw bytes, little endian does not sort well, but big endian does. With big endian, you can just sort lexicographically and it will work. Also, in case somebody accidentally uses a signed 64-bit number, it would be nice if this didn't break anything. If we can force a sine bit to be zero, then we can avoid all the consequences of that. And this only sacrifices about 250 years. We could still reach April 11, 2262. For this minor benefit, I think it's worth it, because by year 2262, we will not be using Mosaic anymore. So now we have the Mosaic timestamp standard. In summary, a 64-bit signed integer using big endian byte ordering. We store the number of nanoseconds that actually elapsed since January 1st, 1970. This includes the nanoseconds within the leap seconds. We ensure that this number is always positive. To convert from Unix time, you first add the leap seconds, currently 28, and then you multiply by a billion. To convert back to Unix time, you divide by a billion and then subtract the number of leap seconds, currently 28. Times before 1970 cannot be expressed, but this timestamp is meant to timestamp Mosaic records, which did not exist before 1970. Times after April 11, 2262 cannot be expressed either. In closing, I should mention that for a long time, Mosaic was defined to use 48-bit integers. It was defined to use 48-bit integers that expressed milliseconds, not 64-bit integers that expressed nanoseconds. But this is being changed. That's it for today. Cheers.